Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts of prior shows are also available there. Just go to local programming, drop down Your Financial Choices, and select any program you're interested in hearing. Today is September 12, 2018. The markets were pretty flat today. The Dow closing at 25,998, the NASDAQ at 7954, and the S&P at 2,888. Our topic tonight is retirement plan checkup. That's right, retirement plan checkup. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810, and you can ask questions live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can ask questions off air, and Lori will write it down and bring it into the studio. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. As I mentioned, our topic this evening, retirement plan checkup, and I have with me in the studio a guest, Joseph Goldfeder. He's a financial advisor and certified financial planner practitioner at Valley National Financial Advisors in Bethlehem. He has more than a decade of experience finding solutions for individuals concentrating on retirement income planning, investment management, income tax planning, risk management, and estate planning. Joe is a registered representative with Valley National Investments and an investment advisor representative with Valley National Advisors, as well as being a fully licensed insurance agent. Welcome to the show, Joe. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Lori, for having me on.
Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. As you mentioned, I have been with Valley National for a little over 12 years now, and I really enjoy working with both individuals and institutions and helping them achieve their financial goals. Personally, I'm married and have two children, and my family and I just recently relocated to beautiful Lehigh Township. So I'm a bit further north now with the drive to work, but not a problem.
Good, good. So you've been a native of the Lehigh Valley for quite some time.
My entire life.
There you go. Well, good. So you know the area and the people. So tonight we are going to talk about retirement plan checkups. You mentioned you work quite a bit with retirement planning. And September 7th was National 401k Day. So that's why I thought it'd be a good opportunity to highlight 401ks. But then I realized in general, retirement plans could use their own checkup. It doesn't have to be just a 401k. So first, can you broadly highlight some of the types of retirement plans that would need a regular checkup?
Sure. And Lori, really, there are so many plans. We won't have the time really to address all aspects of each one, but some of the types of retirement plans one might have that would need some type of monitoring regardless would be 401ks, profit sharing plans if you have a Roth 401k, 403b, an ESOP plan maybe, SEP, simple IRAs, the list goes on and on. So having said all those, there are some easy ways to check up on some of the most common.
Okay, so what types of plans do you generally see that we should address tonight?
I think most of us, you know, have seen a 401k before, a 403b, an IRA, maybe a Roth IRA as well.
Okay, so 401ks, because it is the September 7th National 401k Day, and over the years, 403bs have really become much like 401ks, very, very, very close in similarities. So I imagine when you're talking about the concept of retirement plan checkup. That kind of goes hand in hand. And then IRAs and Roths, we see a lot of IRAs and Roths, so you think we'd be able to touch on some of those. So let's talk about what a checkup means when you mentioned doing kind of a retirement plan checkup. What are you referring to?
Sure. So generally, a regular review of your investment options would be something that comes to mind. Your allocation of those investments, what's your risk tolerance, how much are you contributing, and are those within the limits of, you know, the IRS requirements? Do you have any savings goals? How many years until retirement approaches? Those are just some of a few things that you should be looking at.
So basically, you kind of actually have almost like a menu of things that you'd want to look at for this checkup. So can you kind of start with one of those and let's drill down? What would be the first step that you would take if you were going to do a retirement plan checkup? What would you suggest people do?
Sure. I think the first thing would be to determine what types of plans you have access to, whether they're through your employer or you maybe have the ability to contribute to a IRA or Roth IRA outside of work. Maybe you have access to a simple IRA depending on the size of your employer. You know, there are income limits to IRAs that the IRS imposes, so it's important to know what your options are, whether or not you're able to contribute to both a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. So, you know, knowing your options and coordinating those benefits is definitely important.
Okay. So first item would be to know what kind of plan you have available. So our listeners tonight may say, I do have a 401k. So that checks that box. Or people who say, I don't have an employer plan. That's where the IRA would come into play.
Exactly.
If they don't have a retirement plan. And then because we also prepare tax returns, we also know that there are times or cases where someone could have both a 401k and an IRA, and that's what you're referring to with the income limits?
Right, so right. If you have access to a 401k at work and you're contributing, IRS says if you make over a certain amount, you're not eligible to make a contribution to a traditional IRA and also in some cases a Roth. For the Roth IRAs, the income limits are a bit higher mm-hmm. than traditional IRAs, but regardless, there are still some restrictions that the IRS does impose on us.
Okay, good. And then part of that checkup might be, too, is if we're talking to couples and there's, you know, two partners in the relationship, one actually could do some savings based on the other when in using IRAs. So that's another aside. As Joe mentioned at the start of the show, we're not going to be able to drill into all of the details of this tonight because we could talk about just IRAs for, you know, probably two shows. So we're talking about taking the steps to do a retirement plan checkup. And this first step was understanding what kind of plan is available. So that's the first step. So now we've got our bearings around that, and we want to make sure that each person understands what applies to their specific situation. But once they know what kind of plan they have or what plan would be available to them, how, again, do they know how much to save or how much to contribute?
Right. So each plan has its own limits. For example, in 2018, one can contribute to a 401k if you're under age 50 up to $18,500. And then if you're over age 50, there's an additional catch-up contribution of $6,000. For IRAs in 2018, the amount one can defer is $5,500. If you're over age 50, the additional $1,000 catch-up is permitted as well. So how much you can contribute is driven not only by the limits that are placed, but also by what you can afford out of your cash flow. So while at the same time considering maybe an employer match if you had the 401k, if any, you know, keep in mind that if you have a goal for retirement and you need to rely on these savings for retirement, you need to figure out how to find ways to build up those contributions over time. One way that you might be able to kind of check on that is if you have a 401k plan, there's a good chance that you have a website which you can go to. And there's a lot of unique tools, we'll call them calculators, financial learning tools that may be available through your plan's website. So I would suggest that if you have a 401k plan, you haven't looked at it recently, maybe go out to your plan website and just explore the different options that may be available. There may be a retirement planning calculator, for example, which would take into account your date of birth, your marital status, your current income and savings, your current annual savings contributions, and the tools will provide you with an estimated amount of how much you may have 30 years from now, if that's your time horizon. So utilizing a plan's tools, which really no cost to do, just some time and homework on your part can be very valuable.
So do you think a lot of the plans do have those calculators available on the website?
Most of the folks that I've worked with, and including our own here at Valley National, there are numerous different calculators, learning tools that are available, and it's free information, essentially. So it's just taking the time to explore what's out there.
And it's important time to take as well, because it's an investment in your future, basically.
Right.
Okay. We're coming up on our first break, folks. If you have questions, it's a great topic, and we are here to answer your questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live with us on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. And the number again, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Not only is becoming a WDIY member a great way to support the programs you love, it has its benefits. WDIY members have access to our weekly member ticket giveaway emails. Discover great concerts, theater performances, film screenings, and more, all while supporting the many choices and real voices on WDIY. Make your gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 7 or wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have as a guest this evening, Joe Goldfeder, Certified Financial Planner from Valley National Financial Advisors, and we are talking about retirement plan checkup. And we've kind of broadened the scope a little bit just to include not only 401ks for National 401k Day on September 7th, but most of what we're talking about would apply to 403b as well. But for those folks who don't have employer plans, you might have IRAs or Roth IRAs. And a lot of what we're talking about today as far as doing a retirement plan checkup applies to that as well. Again, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable doing that, give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in. And you can also email questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. So, Joe, we talked about a little bit about all the different kinds of retirement plans that are out there. We're focusing on just a few tonight. And then we talked about one of the first steps in doing your checkup is to understand what kind of retirement plan options are available to you, whether it's do you qualify for the 401k? Because sometimes an employer will have a 401k plan, but you might not qualify for it if you just started working there. Sometimes they make you work there a year. Sometimes you have to be a certain age or certain hours. So you want to make sure you're going to qualify for it. And if you don't qualify for that, you might have some options with IRAs. So we talked about that. And then the next step we said in this checkup is, once you know what kind of plan you qualify for, then you want to understand what kind of contributions you can make. So you referenced the maximum contributions. A lot of times we don't see people doing the maximum contributions. We see them doing some smaller amount. Maybe they think they can't do it because of cash flow, or sometimes they're doing it just to get kind of the employer match that an employer might put in if you put in. So you mentioned using calculators that they can kind of see, do they have to save more? But what are some, are there some easy ways outside of just, saying I'm going to put 10% in my plan if you think you can't afford more than that? What is an easy way to kind of add more to our retirement plan?
Right. So I think one easy step would be if we're lucky enough to get a raise by our employer, then instead of maybe taking all of that raise and putting it in our pocket, that we would take a portion of it, whether it's half, a third, whatever, and just up our contribution when that raise comes. If you were living comfortably prior to that raise, what's to say that you have to change your lifestyle now just because you're making more money?
Okay. And sometimes people get bonuses that they might not have realized or could count on. I don't know if you can... I guess there's times where you can change what your contribution amount is.
Yeah, I think most plans, 401k plans that is, are fairly flexible in the frequency at which you can change your options. I think a lot of them read as administratively feasible, so if that's a per pay period or once a month. So we have seen folks, they're lucky enough again to get a bonus, maybe it's the middle of the year, end of the year, and they want to defer a lot of that. They'll make a one-time adjustment to to defer a portion of that money that may come just once a year.
Okay, so that's a great way to do it. So that could be part of the retirement plan checkup. As soon as they have the flag, oh, bonus or raise, that's their kind of checkup to say, should I increase my contributions? Okay, so from looking at what kind of plan and how much they can contribute and ways to increase those contributions, the next part of the plan, I think you mentioned was, part of the checkup was understanding your investment options. So we have a plan, we know how much we can afford, what kind of investment options, how do we go about that?
Right, so you know, investment options vary depending on what kind of plan you have. A lot of times today, we want to make the options easy for individuals to choose. We don't want to overload them, make them feel overwhelmed. So, you know, some are from a menu, some you can pick yourself. Sometimes 401k plans have predetermined asset allocation models. But most plans today, I would say, offer some type of target date fund for those of us who choose not to pick individual options. And for folks that don't know what a target date fund is, it's designed to change the underlying asset allocation or investments to become more conservative as the target date approaches. So if you have 25 years until retirement, you pick a fund that is closest to that year of retirement, and it will automatically, on its own, change its allocation, rebalance, become more conservative as that year approaches. So, you know, that's kind of a good fail-safe. If you're not willing to take the time to seek out individual options, you could always pick a target date fund. And believe it or not, the Department of Labor has endorsed those as a default investment option in lieu of a money market, for example.
Okay. I'm going to want to talk about those investment options a little bit more, but we did have a call come in. We have Ken from Allentown. Ken, can you hear us?
Hello?
Hi, Ken. How are you? Can you hear us?
Hello.
Okay, here we go. Ken, can you hear us now?
Oh, I can hear you now.
There we go. Good. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No trouble.
Okay, so how can we help you?
So I'm married. My wife works part-time and does not have any 401k options.
Mm-hmm.
I maximize my 401k contribution,
mm-hmm.
And I'm over 50, and I'm putting in the $6,000 catch-up.
Okay.
What can I do? Normally, we're married, filed jointly, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So often those are higher limits, but I don't see one for me to contribute to the retirement, even though the retirement's for both of us.
Okay. So you're working, she's not working.
Yeah, she works part-time.
She works part-time, but she doesn't have a retirement plan offered to her through her employer?
That's correct.
Okay, because that always shows up on a W-2, by the way. There's a box that they check, and if that box isn't checked, then you may have an opportunity to fund a spousal IRA for her based on either her income or your income, or she could do it for herself. So if what happens is the IRS looks to see if one of you are an active participant, and then there's phase-out limits. So if someone doesn't have a 401k at all, then there's no limit, and you could each do an IRA. But if you're married filing joint, I'm going to look this up really quick. If you're married filing joint and you're covered by an employer retirement plan, there's a phase out range for the non-covered spouse. And it's and don't tell me how much you make. It's between, for 2017, it was $186,000 and $196,000. So if together you make less than $186,000 on page one of your tax return, in whatever matter, then you could actually fund an IRA for her. And you could do a deductible IRA or a Roth IRA. So I don't know if that will help, but that is what I would explore. So that's where you can kind of do some spousal planning when a spouse isn't eligible for a retirement plan.
Okay,
does that help?
Yeah.
And
then
you'd have to set up that IRA outside of any employer then, because you can't do it in your plan at work.
Okay, so our plan is administered through Fidelity, so I'd have to go find somebody else,
right,
is what you're saying.
Right,
to do that.
Right. Okay. The IRA could be with any...
Really, any institution can. Fidelity might have the ability for you to just open up an IRA with them for your wife, or even the bank for that matter, if she doesn't want to take on any risk and likes the idea of a money market or a CD, but it's somewhere else outside of the 401k where the IRA has to be established.
Yeah, any of the big name custodians you know could do it, and they could do it pretty easily too. So I hope that helps.
Okay,
great, Ken. Thank you for calling. Right. I appreciate
right.
it. Thanks.
Yep,
have a good night.
You.
Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can call live with your questions or off air, whatever's more comfortable for you. Lori can write it down and bring it into the studio. 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and I have in the studio with me this evening Joe Goldfeder. He's a financial advisor, certified financial planner with Valley National Financial Advisors, and we are talking about retirement plan checkup and kind of going through the list of some of the things you need to do when you're doing a retirement plan checkup, I guess I would call it. And Joe had mentioned at the beginning of the show, you want to do a regular review of first understanding what kind of plan options you have available, how much you can contribute, how much you're saving, a review of the investment options, which I want to go back to because we were talking about that before our last break. What is asset allocation? What does that mean? And risk tolerance. And, of course, the retirement timeline as well. So we've talked about a number of the retirement accounts that are available, 401ks, 403bs, IRAs, Roth IRAs. Ken called and asked a question about can he save outside of his own 401k for his spouse, and there's income limitations. We mentioned that earlier, that income limitations applied to a number of things, whether we can contribute to an IRA. We talked about the contribution limitations as well. So I want to go back to the investment options a little bit here, Joe. Let me give the phone number one more time. Sorry, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can call in live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give Lori the question. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. So the investment options. You were talking about target date funds. And the investment options that 401ks and I imagine 403bs have as well. So the employer plan, you said, has a menu of options. It's not the whole universe of investments, right?
Of course not.
Okay. So sometimes people might feel a little limited in what those investment options are. People who aren't comfortable with having to choose those investment options themselves may use something like a target date fund. But outside of the target date funds, they're kind of having to make some decisions themselves on some of those investments. Some 401k plans, some employer plans also allow a special feature to the plan called a brokerage link, where a employee can actually have someone else manage that money or manage that on their own.
Right, and use investments that would be outside of the limits or selection within the plan itself.
Okay.
But that's not very common. It's becoming more common today, but I would say most plans don't offer that feature, at least that I've come across.
Okay, because when we talk about employer plans, there's fiduciary responsibility that the employer has. That's why they're so careful about providing those menu of options. But when they do offer that direct link or brokerage link or whatever, where the participant manages it themselves, they're kind of offloading that fiduciary responsibility for that participant's investment selections, right?
Correct.
So when the employer comes up with a 401k, when an employer is putting together that menu of options, they do have to offer a good variety of investment options for the participant to select from.
Right. There are a number of asset classes, we'll call them, that have to be covered or required to be covered. So there's a pretty good amount of diversification that the Department of Labor kind of mandates for plan sponsors or employers in this case to include within their investment lineup. You're referencing the brokerage link before. I can tell you from experience that a lot of the major firms, we'll call them, Fidelity comes to mind, do offer that with some of their larger plans. Again, it adds a layer of complexity because you're giving plan participants the option to kind of go outside of what the norm is and make decisions on their own. In some cases, they're able to buy individual stocks within that brokerage link, which of course would not be available in the plan itself. So, you know, having that feature can give you more flexibility and options, but it can also come with a price. And, you know, sometimes more difficult to make those decisions because you have access to the universe of investment options.
Okay. So when we're doing our retirement plan checkup, one thing is, I believe, it kind of gives you an array of options from the employer standpoint for that menu, which would include target date funds. That might be for something for people who maybe don't have a lot of experience with investing, or people who have a lot of experience but don't want to have to watch it all the time. So the target date funds you mentioned kind of change as they age. The risk tolerance changes and the asset allocation changes. So that's kind of one way to kind of set it and forget it. Then there is the menu of options that they would have to choose from, the participant. That's a little bit more work, but the employer should have offered a broad enough menu of options to meet all these different asset classes. So I want to talk about asset allocation in a minute. For people who want to be a little bit more adventurous and do more on their own, they may have that as an option, the brokerage link. They would have to look at their plan document to see if that's available, or contact their employer to see if that's available. Because when we're doing a checkup, some people may not realize they have this even as an option.
Right. I would say the summary plan document, SPD, which is the most common, upon being eligible to enroll, you're going to get a copy of that from your employer. That's going to outline all the ins and outs of your plan, what you can do, what you can't do, the vesting schedule, how to access your money, the loan features, stuff like that. So if there's a brokerage link available in your plan, most likely that information will be included in that summary plan document.
Okay. And it also will tell you if there's a match there typically. As
right.
Well.
Your matching contribution, it outlines all the specifics and details of your plan.
Okay. So, and then for people who go that route, you said that's where now they're going to have more time. It's going to take them more time because now they have this whole universe of investments to choose from. But often or sometimes they can also offload that to a financial advisor as well.
Sure. If they work with somebody in that capacity, okay, that advisor could have the ability to help them.
Yeah. When we talk about retirement plan checkup, just when we look at the investment options for a plan, do you see how varied this can be? This is why we're talking about this and pointing this out to people. There's just so many options. We didn't even talk about what happens to the people with the IRAs, because that really is independent. And you had mentioned to Ken that, you know, perhaps his wife is very conservative and doesn't want to go find one of those custodians and do her own investment options. Going to a bank is also an option.
Right. Banks offer IRAs and money markets or CD capacity where you're in a cash investment and not, you know, really exposing yourself to the risk of the stock market.
Okay. Now, if someone had an IRA and they went to one of those independent, custodians to do something on their own, are there target date funds outside of 401ks that people can invest in as well?
I would say, again, my experience, most custodian institutions do offer the target date funds outside of 401ks or some type of allocation fund with a similar feature in mind.
Okay. So lots and lots to consider. When we come back from our next break, Joe, I want to go into we talked about investment options, but I want to be able to explain what asset allocation is, because when we're doing our checkup, one of the things we want to check up is not just the investments we're choosing, but we also want to look at the asset allocation. And that might be related to risk tolerance. So if we need to talk about risk tolerance before we talk about asset allocation, maybe we could do that.
Okay.
All right, folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We can take your questions live on air. Or off air. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. And again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. It's 6:30. Your current temperature is 77. On Thursday, you have a chance of drizzle before 2 p.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2, otherwise cloudy with a high near 78. Thursday night, low around 68. Friday, cloudy with a high near 76. And Friday night, low around 65. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 79. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 63. And for Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 80. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Seabird.
Thank you, Shondi. Welcome back, folks. I have in the studio with me this evening Joe Goldfeder, CFP practitioner and financial advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors. And we are talking about retirement plan checkup in honor of September 7th, National 401k Day. And we have been talking about understanding what kind of plans are available to you, tools that you can use on the company websites. We can go more into that a little bit later if we need to. Understanding how much you can put into these plans, how to save, how to build up your savings. And we talked a little bit about the investment options in these plans. So I want to continue our discussion and talk a little bit about risk tolerance and then move into asset allocation. Because when we talk about investment options, it's very important to understand what risk tolerance you have in order to understand your investment options. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. Joe, so let's move into talking about risk tolerance for a minute. What kind of goes into risk tolerance? How do people know what their risk tolerance is? You know, what kind of questions do you ask?
Sure. So, you know, risk tolerance is really how comfortable you are with the fluctuation or volatility maybe you might see in your investment accounts. So risk typically is associated with the ability or potential to have a greater return on that investment versus something that is less risky. You wouldn't expect the growth rate to be as high as something that is aggressive. So, you know, someone who has a higher risk tolerance, we would associate the word aggressive with that. Somebody who doesn't want to, again, see fluctuations in the value of their investments would be more conservative. So generally speaking, the longer time horizon one has to accumulate savings before they need it for retirement might have more risky investments, as in equities, exposure to the stock markets, as opposed to somebody who is approaching retirement and might need to draw on those funds regularly.
Because you don't want the fluctuations when you're retired and have to draw on it.
Right. You don't want to see the volatility you know, in your investments, or having to sell something when the value is down because it's not a good time for the stock market or it's not a good time economically. And you need that money to live off of, but you're forced to sell it because you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, managing, I would say, time horizon, appetite. You might have somebody who has 35 years until retirement, and by nature, they're a conservative person. They just are not comfortable. They don't sleep well at night knowing that their savings are going to potentially, you know, go down over time because of external factors that they have no control over. So by nature, they might just want to keep more money in cash or more money in investments that aren't not related to the stock market, versus somebody who maybe is considered a gambler and likes to roll the dice. They may invest.
He says that with enthusiasm.
They may invest 100% of their money in stocks or what are considered risk assets.
Yeah. So, and sometimes, as you mentioned, that person who has that 35-year timeline might be by their nature conservative. Sometimes what I will talk to people about is, where does that come from? And you'll find out maybe their parents lost all their money. Well, maybe their parents didn't make the right decision. So sometimes it's worthwhile, when we're talking about redoing a retirement plan checkup and looking at your risk tolerance, it might be a time to check your risk tolerance and why you feel that way. In addition, sometimes if people are working and have great income, they, as you mentioned, a longer time horizon, maybe they're working, have a lot of good cash flow coming in, or maybe people who have pensions coming in and they don't need any of their money or any of their investments. That could impact their risk tolerance too, right? So it's timeline, cash flow, and just kind of their general sense of comfort level.
Well, if we think back to the last great recession we had in this country back in 2008, 2009, you know, if you were an aggressive investor and had a lot of exposure to the stock market, well, that was not a good time for equity investors. I mean, on paper, if you didn't sell, you had a lot of red on your statements, right? And it took a long time. You know, we're not talking months or weeks. We're talking year and a half, 2 years in some cases, until folks recovered to those pre-recession levels. So we say time horizon. It's also factoring in how long might you have to recover from an economic event like that. And if, you know, you're in retirement, there's not much time to recover.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about risk tolerance, and why is risk tolerance important to the asset allocation? Because you've been saying things like, oh, more aggressive, we might see equities. So let's talk about how understanding that risk tolerance plays into that asset allocation.
Sure. So again, the risk tolerance exercise, and I would say that some, if not all, 401k plans should have some type of feature questionnaire that you can go through, evaluate yourself, and based on your answers, maybe give you a suggested mix of how you should invest your funds. Again, naturally, if you select the target date fund, and depending on the year, the fund's going to do it for you. So if you've got a longer time horizon, it's going to have more equities, and as it gets closer, those get reduced. So defining your risk tolerance then kind of dictates what types of investments you're going to choose. And I think that whole time horizon, your feelings toward things, the need for funds, go into the risk tolerance itself, and then that spits out what investments you should be looking at within the plan. So typically when you enroll, there's some type of maybe asset allocation worksheet, or again, that risk questionnaire that you may go through. And the output would be a suggested mix within the funds that you have. So again, I would encourage you, if you haven't gone onto your plan's website recently, explore those options, and you might find a risk questionnaire that can help you to determine or maybe make an adjustment to your current asset allocation.
You know, when you talked about risk tolerance and asset allocation and then the target date fund, I have seen where people will come in with their retirement plan and they have some of their money in the target date fund and some of their money in other, fund options available. So they don't have it all in the target date fund. That could skew the asset allocation for their risk tolerance, then might it? Because let's say their risk tolerance shows that they're moderate and they go with a target date fund for their age period and then pick these other funds for moderate. How might that skew? They have to be careful, right? I mean, when you're talking about doing a checkup of your investment options and understanding your risk tolerance and what that asset allocation is, you kind of have to drill down into the various options that you have and be careful how you're mixing them.
Of course, I would say look under the hood. I mean, take the time to read the description. You know, each fund should have a description. It should have a cost. How much does it cost you to own the fund? What does it hold? What are the underlying investments? Most plans offer mutual funds, and mutual funds are made up of, you know, tens or hundreds, thousands of individual holdings, whether they're stocks, individual bonds. You could, you know, get a little wild and have some currency, some things that are out of the norm that we don't typically see in there. So kind of, you know, open up the hood, look underneath, and really understand what you're investing in. Not just the name, large cap growth fund. What does that fund actually own? And I think if you do that, you have a better understanding of how much risk you might be taking.
And Joe, there was legislation, I don't know how many years it's been now, several years, I think, that came out for 401k providers that they have to provide certain information to the participants about the plan, about the funds, I think about the cost and the performance. Is that something that they can use? Is that enough, or do you still think they need to go in and drill down? And if you want to explain what I'm talking about, if that helps as part of the 401k checkup, is that a tool that people could use?
I think it definitely helps. It's a DOL, Department of Labor mandate, and I believe it was 3 to 4 years ago when it became law. So, you know, your plan provider, plan sponsor is supposed to annually, whether it's the end of the year, timing could differ based on the plan, provide you with a annual disclosure document. And as you mentioned, that's going to include the investment options, a description. It's going to include the cost of each investment option. It's going to give you performance and just, you know, I would say high-level basic information. It's not going to give you the detail that you would need if you wanted to, again, look under the hood and see what the funds were holding. So that's where the plan website and drilling down, or even a third-party publication like a Morningstar report or a Kiplinger article might give you that information as well. But the plan website's going to have that free, and it's, again, I really encourage people to utilize that if they haven't done it recently.
Okay, so that annual disclosure, they could get kind of a high-level overview of the cost of the funds that they have as options in their plan and the performance over a number of periods. But looking under the hood as to what you're describing is actually going on the website and clicking on the fund, and I don't know, let's call it ABC Mutual Fund. You can click on that and actually drill down to see what is in that fund. As you mentioned, there might be 1,000 investments.
Right, or less, but knowing what's in there is important.
Okay, and then how do you see this retirement plan checkup of someone's plan and their investment options and their risk tolerance and asset allocation? How does that fit in with their overall portfolio? If someone has assets outside of their retirement account, or what if a spouse has a retirement account? What do you suggest as far as the checkup? Do they need to coordinate? Do they need to look at it together? Does that help?
I definitely say coordinating the plans is important. You may find that one spouse is more conservative or more aggressive than the other, so they may not mimic each other, but you don't want them to kind of do their own thing. I think it's important to incorporate all of your investments, assets, retirement savings to kind of get to one target or one risk profile and then manage them accordingly within the options that are permitted in the plan or wherever else your accounts might be held. But it's definitely important to look at big picture, and if there's a spouse that has a plan, you'll want to include that as well.
Or as we mentioned with our caller earlier, Ken, he might have had the option to do some investments for his wife based on his own earnings or her own earnings in this case, but because she didn't have a retirement plan available, they could have done an IRA. What kind of checkup items would you suggest for IRAs or Roth IRAs when we're talking about asset allocation?
Well, I think with Roths, you know, typically we want to see those maybe touched last when it comes to the withdrawal phase because they're tax-free. A lot of folks we work with, you know, see those as a way to pass on wealth to the next generation or their heirs at a tax-free environment, from an income tax perspective, that is, not necessarily estate or inheritance taxes, right? So what we've seen is, you know, growth investments, maybe equities, maybe more risky investments in those Roth accounts because we want to maximize the potential and growth over time, knowing that they may be the last account type that we touch in retirement.
So when they're looking at their risk tolerance and understanding, like you said, someone could be a conservative, someone could be aggressive, but then combining that with looking at their overall portfolio, they could actually have one asset allocation in something like the Roth account, but have a different asset allocation in the 401k account. But together, when you marry those accounts together and look at them overall, it could be their target risk tolerance. Because, you know, it really depends. We have to mention, by the way, this is educational, and each person's situation is personal, and you have
and
to contact your and unique, and you have to contact right. your financial advisor. We're not giving any investment advice, but that because the Roth can grow income tax free, we really want to see the growth there. And typically, when we're talking about growth, we're talking about maybe a more, moderate or moderately aggressive or aggressive kind of allocation to let that grow income tax free, as long as it still fits it within that person's risk tolerance, but that you can look at a risk tolerance not just based on one account. It can be across the whole portfolio.
Exactly. And I think that's important to look at it big picture-wise as opposed to individual silos, as in each account doing their own thing.
Okay. So retirement plan checkup, make sure you understand what kind of accounts you have and how they all coordinate with each other. There's lots of information to cover, but the most important thing I think that I'm getting from Joe in particular is that paying attention is the number one goal for the retirement plan checkup, and making sure that if there are tools or websites available to you, that you do take a little time to kind of understand the plan. I think many of us are guilty of setting it and forgetting it. And on the one hand, that can actually work quite well, because if you set it to maximize your savings, that's pretty awesome. Or you're not kind of going out of the market when the market tanks and going in back into the market when it's high, you're setting and forgetting it, and you're kind of letting it do its work. In some cases, that kind of works well. But there are a lot of times where this extra little bit of checkup can make a big difference if you haven't changed your contributions in years and you actually can afford to up your contribution. That's the purpose of the retirement plan checkup, along with all these other items that we've mentioned tonight. When we come back, we're at our last break. We are going to continue our discussion talking about retirement plan checkup and some of the other information that's available on websites, and looking at asset allocation a little bit more. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I'm your host, Lori Siebert, and I have in the studio with me Joe Goldfeder, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner and a Financial Advisor at Valley National Financial Advisors. And we are talking about a retirement plan checkup and kind of big picture. We talked a little bit about all the different kinds of retirement accounts that are available and out there, but we're really kind of focusing on those that we have more control over, things like 401ks, 403bs, IRAs, Roth IRAs, and how we need to pay attention to those retirement savings vehicles, because it can make such a difference. There are just too many times that we've had people come in and ask, am I set for retirement when they're age 62? That's not the time to look at your retirement accounts. It's hopefully earlier. Any time is a good time if you haven't done it before. But, we truly encourage people to start much earlier. And in fact, I talk to a lot of young people through the radio show here to say, get on board with this early. Start saving right away before you even know what making money is. Because if you start those savings early, you'll be in good shape. And Joe, you're a great saver.
I would say I practice what I preach to my clients.
There you go. Joe's a great saver. Always look away for ways to save money. But starting to contribute to your retirement account as soon as you're eligible for it, that's like a no-brainer, don't
right.
you think?
The power of compounding over time does wonders.
Okay. So we were talking about, what were we talking about? A little bit about the asset allocation before we went to break. And I want to talk about that a little bit more, but we do still have time for questions. If you'd like, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. The reason I want to talk a little bit more about asset allocation, Joe, is because I'm not sure people actually understand what that means. We've kind of referred to it a little bit. And I know I heard you say equities. I know I heard you say large cap something. So let's talk a little bit. What does asset allocation mean? And then why is that important? And at the break, you mentioned a buzzword, rebalance. So I want to move to that after you explain a little bit more what asset allocation is when we're talking about doing a retirement plan checkup.
Sure. So there's a lot of common asset classes out there. And I think your funds, plan, investment options may give you categories. Large caps, I referenced before, large capitalization stocks that have over, you know, a few billion dollars in valuation would fall into that category. You have a mid-cap, small-cap. You have international stocks that are outside of the United States.
So that's kind of all equities you're talking
equities,
about.
Equities, right. You also have non-equities, which would be bonds. So maybe you have a bond fund, and it could be a domestic bond fund, a global bond fund. It could be short-term in nature or long-term. Maybe there's a money market fund available in your plans, investment options. Those are all different asset classes which make up your asset allocation. So certain plans will maybe group their investment options by growth, for example, or growth in income, or just income. And maybe you're seeing terms like a preservation allocation fund or a conservative allocation fund or an aggressive growth allocation fund. And, you know, those names have meaning. And again, I think anytime there's just a term up there, it's important to know what you're investing in. And that just requires some time on your part to drill down into each of those options. But when you have an understanding of the asset classes that and your risk profile, that's when you determine the mix, right, your asset allocation. And you talked about or mentioned that I said rebalancing earlier. And rebalancing is you have a set allocation that you're comfortable with based on your risk tolerance. And every so often, whether it's quarterly, semi-annually, annually, you're resetting your investments. You're rebalancing back to that predetermined set allocation. And what it does is it forces us to sell high on the investments that have appreciated over that time period and then reinvest in those investments that have not done so well. So that's an important feature that a lot of folks probably don't take advantage of or don't know maybe that their plans have those features available.
Oh, like you can set it automatically to do it.
You can set it automatically. Again, whether it's on your birth date, the date you enrolled, a predetermined day of the month, once a year in the last business day, there's some flexibility in the frequency at which you can do that. And it is automatic. So once it's set up, you don't have to go in there every year and do it yourself. The plan technology website will do it automatically for you.
Okay, so when we talk about risk tolerance, let's pretend I'm someone who is preservation-minded. That would then lead me toward what kind of asset allocation I might need and what kind of mix. So when we talk about asset allocation, you mentioned a bunch of equity kind of funds, and then you mentioned bond or kind of fixed income kind of funds. So just, and I know it's not probably across the board, but if I was preservation mind, what kind of asset allocation might that look like as an example?
Sure. I would say that the majority of your investments would be in bonds, fixed income, and cash. You may have a little bit in stocks or equities, and that's just kind of maybe to provide you an inflation hedge, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But very minimal because you're not willing to accept volatility, you're not willing to accept large losses within your investment accounts.
Okay. So then someone who's aggressive would be kind of the opposite, and they would be more skewed toward the equities.
Right. They'd have probably a majority in equities. They're willing to see short-term swings, volatility, movements in their account value up or down. And ultimately, over time, they want to grow their investment. So they're willing to take on that risk to achieve a higher return.
Okay. So now I'm going back to the retirement plan checkup. Because let's say I was 25 and I set up my 401k and I set it and forget it. And I set it up, and at the time my risk tolerance said, you're an aggressive investor. You can tolerate risk. I set up aggressive. 40 years later, generally people probably change jobs more often than that, but it could happen. 40 years later, if I've never looked at that, I could have experienced lots and lots of swings. But for the most part, I would have expected a higher rate of return because I was more aggressive. You said technically if we're more aggressive, we take higher risk, we hope for a better return over 40 years. My plan might have looked pretty good. Now I'm, you know, 10 years from retirement. Retirement plan checkup says when I do my risk tolerance questionnaire, whoops, I'm now conservative. That's when I would then go in with those tools that are available on the website and maybe do a rebalance.
Sure, do a rebalance, do an exchange from one fund category to another, and just reduce the amount of exposure you have to the stock market, to risk assets, equities.
Okay, so this retirement plan checkup is really a good idea. How often would you say?
You know, I would say anytime there's a life-changing event. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get married, you have a child, you start a new job. A lot of times we forget we have an old 401k lingering out there. And if it's not below a certain dollar amount, most commonly $5,000 is kind of a mandate, it can stay in the plan. And maybe you've changed job three or four times and you have these old 401k plans out there. The quarterly statements come, but you're not really engaged because you don't work there anymore. So it's not in the forefront of your mind. So, you know, I would say that as an example would be a good time to consolidate. So really any time a life-changing event occurs, you know, maybe every couple of years, if you get a raise, things that would, you know, warrant you to go in and revisit. Maybe there's a economic recession coming and you're hearing it on the news and you just say, hey, you know what, I'm not sure I want to take on this much risk anymore. And you go in and make a change. So I would say as frequently as needed, but definitely you don't want to wait 20 years or 10 years. You want to revisit it more frequently.
You mentioned something that I think we can touch on as part of the retirement plan checkup. You said, what if you have a life-changing event? You get married. You have a child. What is the other thing that they need to check on their retirement plan?
They want to make sure that they have the appropriate beneficiaries. Maybe you name your spouse or you name your child as contingent. A lot of times we forget to do that.
Yeah, like we name our mother and father.
Right, and now we're married and
with two kids.
Right, so important to update and you know keep tabs on our beneficiaries.
Okay, so typically when there is a spouse, quite often we will see the spouse as a primary beneficiary. There are times when that's all we name. We don't name a contingent beneficiary. What happens if we don't have a contingent beneficiary and God forbid there's an accident where both spouses pass?
Yeah, the assets would go to that individual's estate, and that is not treated from a tax-favorable standpoint. And you're letting the courts essentially decide, or a will if you have one, decide who receives or inherits those assets. So it's always very important to make sure that we have both primary and contingent beneficiaries listed on all of our accounts where we have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm. And occasionally a custodian might have their own default beneficiary. So it could be going to the estate. That quite often that is the default beneficiary on some of these custodians. But sometimes there are certain custodians that have their own default beneficiaries. So it might be a parent. But if you're estranged from your parent, then that might not be where you wanted it to go. So it's important whether you're single or married, and with children, that you get your primary beneficiary on there and a contingent beneficiary, just in case something were to happen. For people who are older, I'm just going to throw in, if you are really advanced in years, you're already retired, you have your, you know, retirement accounts, whether they're IRAs, rollover IRAs, the same thing applies to you. Even if you're not working and it's not through work, you want to double check your primary beneficiaries and contingent beneficiaries. What I like to remind folks is quite often you can do some what we call post-mortem planning, meaning after you've died, let's say you name a spouse as the primary beneficiary, but they don't need the money or want the money and they'd rather it go to the kids, and maybe the kids are in a lower tax bracket or, you know, need the money, then a spouse can disclaim, any primary beneficiary could disclaim, and then it could default to the contingent beneficiary if you do it correctly, a qualified disclaimer, etc. So there's lots of things you can do. So Joe, do you want to kind of sum up what we talked about tonight? And what are your biggest takeaways from a retirement plan checkup?
Yeah, so first I think you have to identify, you know, what options, what vehicles you have, whether they're have access to 401k, an IRA, a Roth account. You know, next you want to determine how much you can afford to save, how much you're contributing, how are you able to increase that? We mentioned earlier about when you get a raise, maybe deferring a portion of that raise or increasing your, you know, your contribution through those means. You know, so again, I would also say I really, really want to stress the importance of utilizing your plan's website or those tools, because they are free. And if you don't have an advisor, those tools, those calculators will give you some of the answers that maybe an advisor could provide. So, you know, very important to make sure you explore all your options. And then I think lastly, revisiting your investment mix, your risk tolerance, and your time horizon to make sure that you are on track for retirement and whatever those goals might be in the future.
Joe, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Lots of great, great information. How do people contact you if they need to reach you?
Sure. They can call me at the office, 610-868-9000, extension 112, or you can email me at jgoldfeder@valleynationalgroup.com.
Okay. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Hope to have you on again.
Thank you, Lori.
It was a lot of fun. Lori, thanks for taking our questions tonight. Shondi, thanks for running the board. And listeners, Ken, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Next week, understanding what you can do with your retirement accounts. I decided to play off our topic tonight. What can you do with them? A lot of people ask questions about taking loans or borrowing or combining. So I'm going to talk about what you can do with your retirement accounts. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.